Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Airbnb sets some new limits on renting your space, and flirting with your Uber driver could get you...
Married?
No, Tom. Banned for life. Details coming up in the news.
At 3:20, Matthew Kilgore, a member of the cast from the show White Christmas, going to be on hand to tell us about the holiday show that is in Sacramento right after Christmas, and we have tickets to give away.
Tickets to give away. Yes. The folks in Oregon, who we often kid about their weather, and justifiably so, have a new toy. It's the Oregon Weather Compass, and you'll find out more about it at 3:25.
One of our reporters, Clayton Whitehead, made a mileage run of epic proportion last week to Africa. Yes, 3:35. He's here to explain what the heck that was all about.
Finally, at 3:55, Gwen Duncan slips in to update us on her travels, including the cruise ship that is leaving Cuba just as fast as it arrived.
It's Sunday afternoon, and probably a lot of you are catching us in between shopping trips from this mall to that. Thanks for taking the time out to join the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Follow along with all the stuff we have on the Travel Guys.
Is that what you call it, stuff?
You know, that kind of just sums it all up.
Can I just say something really cool? There is something on here on our website this week that is just incredibly super cool. One of my friends found this for me. Actually, Chris Galloway, one of the guys who reports for us from time to time.
I didn't even finish my sentence.
I know you didn't. Under the highlights on the website, it says the heartbreaking side. You got to go down a few blips there. The heartbreaking side of being Santa Claus that no one talks about. I just encourage you, if you believe in Santa Claus and Christmas, go to Travel Guys Radio and just look at that article, because it's make sure you have a handkerchief nearby. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead, Mr. Romano.
That's okay. What Mark just said is all available along with other stuff at travelguysradio.com. So we've got freezing fog. Now, if you run into freezing fog...
What is freezing fog?
I just imagine...
Where's Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel when you need him?
Kind of sounds like it would just like stop you in your tracks.
Yeah.
Something. I saw on the news earlier
freezing
this week...
fog.
To go along with that, thunder snow.
Thunder snow. Yeah, that's Cantore. That's like he goes ballistic when that happens. But it's, you know, the weather guys are like radio guys and, you know, sports guys and whenever the ultimate thing happens. But I've never heard of that. Freezing fog.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Anyway, this is a travel show,
and we are
not a weather program.
And we are the Travel Guys. And Mark, I think when we spoke to you last, you were in the snow.
I was in Seattle and Portland, and they've had more snow since then. And those folks are not really, you know, big on snow up there, but they're, my goodness, they have had, the weather is cold everywhere. I mean, everywhere. I talked to somebody in San Francisco last night. Apparently, in some parts of the city last night, it got into the low 40s. And if you know anything about people in San Francisco, they don't do 50s well, let alone 40s.
Right. Well, that ocean there is supposed to kind of keep the temperature at some sort of, you know, nominal level, but it didn't work. By the way, my father-in-law Jack is from Portland, and he was there when it snowed some years ago, and he took his stepson at the time out, who was learning to drive, and they turned him loose in a parking lot at a high school and said, go learn how to drive in the snow. So I thought that was pretty good.
So I got a bill this week. This is for my beloved condo in Florida.
You know what? I got mine,
you
too.
Got yours.
I'll tell you what. Let's compare. Compare on maintenance fees. Go for it.
I got club dues, $159. Reserve fee, I don't know what that is. That's, I guess, to rebuild the place when it falls down someday, $147. Operating fee, $491. Voluntary ARTA fee, $5. $792.20. That's what I pay this year. Now, next year, I'll pay a slightly lesser charge. But in order to get a week in Florida every 2 years, I pay roughly $1,100.
Wow. Well, yeah. I don't know.
Skewered is a good word that you would use for that.
I didn't bring my list, mm-hmm. and it's probably longer, but it is about the same. It was about 763. Now, I have also every other year.
Yeah, that's what I have every other year.
But I get the same exact bill for the full amount every year.
It's just aggravating. If you're thinking about buying a timeshare somewhere, call Tom and I first, and we would be happy to counsel you.
Yeah, we'll talk you out of it.
If you're thinking about buying a timeshare...
Actually, if you're thinking about buying a timeshare, call Mark and Tom, and we have one we'll
sell you one.
For pennies on the dollar.
But Google secondary timeshare market, and that will help you understand, if you're thinking about buying a timeshare, where you should buy it.
There you go. Well, we are the Travel Guys, and we got lots to cover today, so let's move on. It's that time. Time for us to bring you up to date on the travel news.
I don't know how we get Huey Lewis and all those people in the studio every week, but...
It's amazing.
In and out.
I know, and then he hits the road and ends up in Reno.
All right, so you can't flirt with your Uber driver is the word here. Apparently... Taxi Cab Confessions, you've seen that program, right?
I have. I like that show.
I kind of do, too. But Uber is not a cab service. It's a ride-sharing service, and their kind of company motto is to treat people like you would like to be treated yourself, which means no groping and grabbing and inappropriate comments and things like that, because things of that type, not to mention carrying drugs or unopened alcohol containers or things like that, if reported by your Uber driver, could get you banned from Uber. And that wouldn't be necessarily a good thing, I'm thinking, this day and age.
Look how far we've come, you know? I mean, from taxi cab drivers that you couldn't stand to possibly ride with. Again, getting banned as a driver, now it's the people who ride in the back seat that's going to be banned.
Warning them. Let's see here. What does it say here? Frisky types should be aware that the company's physical contact rule strictly forbids any touching or flirting with anyone else in the car, be it the driver or your significant other. So what that means is that if you're in the back of the car with somebody that you're amorous with, it's against Uber's rules to be too amorous while you're in the car.
That's never going to work.
You know,
people on dates and so forth, and you know, that's never going
to
work.
Well, okay, well, just try not to molest your Uber driver, because you might need them. Speaking of our website and the cool stuff that is on it, did you see this, Tom? The story about the lady who got dragged off the airplane in Detroit.
Oh yeah. In fact, I watched it several times.
Yeah, it's if you haven't seen it, it's at travelguysradio.com. And apparently, I watched the news stories all week, and nobody ever said why. I mean, she was not complying with boarding and seating procedures.
She ran to the front. As soon as it was time to board, she just scooted right past everybody, jumped on the plane first, and claimed her overhead space. And they says, hey, you got to wait your turn. You've got to comply with the boarding rules. And you can't do that. And then once you're on the plane, you're under federal law.
Right. Exactly.
And then she refused to comply. And it was kind of interesting. You could see her. She had her eyes shut as they were dragging her out of the plane.
I mean, they literally drug her off of the airplane. And she had to get out of bed the next morning and face the world. That's all I have to say. I mean, you know, you get in trouble on an airplane like that. It's not, you don't just brush it off. I mean, your life is going to get real complicated for quite some time. Airbnb, speaking of ride sharing and place sharing and stuff like that, is placing some limits on how you can rent out your home. There will now be a 90-day limit on rentals that are not occupied by the owner. And this is because in major cities, real estate speculators are buying up properties and turning them into Airbnb rental properties. So if you don't live in the home, you can only rent it out for 90 days. So that's kind of, that is hopefully going to change. I don't know that will impact too many people around the Sacramento area, but it will some places. Sports Leisure Vacation sold tickets to Hamilton last week.
You texted me. I understand.
Oh, my goodness.
Telling us, how quickly did they go, Mark?
My goodness. We had about 200 that we had secured, and we got, they went in 2 hours, and we set all kinds of rules and regulations to make sure that they didn't get into the hands of people who were just going to turn them around, because we were trying to sell them to our customers at, frankly, at a price that was a little bit less a package that included transportation for a little bit less than what people were turning the tickets around and selling for on the street in the secondary market. But we're trying to be fair to people. And so if the last Hamilton presale happened Monday, all the tickets now are sold. For the entire run, you can get tickets on the secondary market, and a $200 ticket is going to cost you about $550 or $600. A $100 ticket should start around $275. So $100 is upstairs. The $500 ticket's going to get you in the back of orchestra, and if you want to sit in the front of orchestra, those tickets went for $500, so you're probably going to pay about $1,000 for them. But I'll go see it someday and talk to you, tell you what I think about it here. Hamilton is coming to San Francisco in March, and finally Norwegian Air got the green light to charge full steam into North America. We could have overseas flights to Europe, Norwegian Airlines is saying, as low as $69 one way from East Coast getaways. That could be coming as early as next summer, and that is the travel news.
And with the travel guys coming up in about 3 minutes, White Christmas and the Oregon Compass. That's next.
Country roads, take me home.
Welcome, everyone. It's Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We are the travel and entertainment guys. One of our favorite entertainment folks to talk with is those from the California Musical Theater. And once in a while, we're blessed to actually get a chance to talk to the people that are in some of the theater. Mark, introduce our guest today.
I will do that, Tom. The Irving Berlin show White Christmas is going to be performed in Sacramento next week. And in fact, we have some tickets to give away at the end of the program today. So hang on for that. We have two sets of tickets. And we are joined on the line by Matthew Kilgore. Matthew is part of the cast for White Christmas, which is in San Francisco currently. Welcome, Matthew, to the Travel Guys.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming on board. We were talking before we started, and you have quite a history with this show. This is not your first White Christmas rodeo, so to speak.
It is not. That is true. I started with the show in 2005. I was a member of the ensemble of the original L.A. company. And from there, I started in L.A., went to St. Paul, Minnesota, to Toronto, back to St. Paul. And then I made my Broadway debut with the show in 2009. And I've been involved in production since then. And this is my first year on the national tour.
So for people who might not be familiar with the show, what would you tell folks who are anticipating or considering coming to see White Christmas next week?
This show is really special. Almost everyone knows the movie White Christmas. And so what they've done with the stage show is they've taken the main story of the movie. They took more familiar Irving Berlin songs and plugged them into the show and took out some of the lesser known Irving Berlin songs from the show and kind of streamlined the plot and made it this nice little tight, zippy, snappy show. We've got Judy Garland's daughter, Lorna Luft, starring in the show. And you've got the song White Christmas at the end of the show. You really can't go wrong. It's a beautiful holiday show.
Matthew, let me ask you, you've been doing this for some time now and spent a lot of time on stage and working with audiences and so forth. From a stage performer's point of view, what is the most difficult part of trying to connect with the audience in that kind of an environment? What do you focus on to stay in character and emotionally reach out to the people in the audience?
That's something we deal with on a daily basis because it is a live art form, which is wonderful. It's not like you're turning on the TV. You're actually there participating in the performance with us on stage. And so what we struggle with a lot of times on the road is feeling like the audience is so far away from us. Because a lot of times in New York, the theaters are smaller, the stage is closer to the audience. But when you play these big roadhouses, we have a large orchestra pit and then an apron at the front of the stage. So quite often we're 15, 20 feet away from the front row of the audience. And so that's really hard to get the show across that gap. Across the divide, yeah. And it does make a difference because there are times that we're like, gosh, we can't hear the audience today. It's not that the audience isn't responding to what's going on stage. It's just the gap is so wide and we can't hear things coming back to us.
That's kind of fascinating. I mean, I really and truly, great question and great answer. For both of you guys. Matthew, this is not your first traveling show. You mentioned to us off the air that you've been in tours that are as long as 6 or 7 months. This is only 7 weeks because this is obviously a seasonal show. Not all that many people are going to be interested in seeing White Christmas the third week of January.
right.
But it's got to be a little bit of a challenge as a performer. 8 shows a week, you're changing cities, sometimes on a weekly basis. Tell us a little bit about that. You ever wake up in the morning and not know what city you're in or have to check the schedule to make sure where you're at?
Usually I wake up knowing what city I'm in. The problem is our first day in every new city, you go down and go get breakfast, and then you come back and you go to the room number you were in last week. And then you can't figure out what room you're in.
There you go.
I've had that happen before. Thankfully, not too often, but that does happen. And, you know, it's just a challenge when you're living out of a suitcase. Like, I have one 50-pound suitcase that has all my belongings in for the tour.
Well, it better be 40. Better be 49 pounds, because if it's...
49 pounds, yes. Yeah, I've been coming in at 46.5 the last couple of weeks, so... I've got some room for souvenirs.
So, Matthew, what about a personal life? When you're out on the road, significant other, family, it's the holidays now. You're in California and your family, you got a Brooklyn area code, so I'm guessing your family's back on the other side of the country. How does all that work?
Yeah, I'm from Indiana originally. My family is there. My life is in New York. This has been going on since 2005, so we've just kind of figured out our holidays. We do a lot of FaceTiming on the holidays. We just generally celebrate the holidays whenever I'm back in town after the tour.
Before we let you go, Matthew, do you have a goal or a dream as a performer that hasn't been realized yet?
You know, I made my Broadway debut in 2009. That was always a big goal. I'd love to be back on Broadway in the future. But I've always said that my biggest goal as a performer is to be able to pay my bills doing what I love. And so far, I've been able to do that for the entirety of my career. That's what I consider success in this business, because there are a lot of out-of-work actors, and I am fortunate enough to be one of the working ones. So
that's
success for me.
As somebody who has done something they enjoy doing for almost 4 decades, I can tell you that it's a good life plan, my friend. Matthew Kilgore is our guest on The Travel Guys. He is part of the White Christmas show that is coming to Sacramento next week. Thank you, Matthew, for your time. Really appreciate it. Have a great show in Sacramento. Break a leg.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you.
Thank you so much, Matthew. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Stand by to win those tickets.
Where the tree.
Mark, have you got the Oregon Weather Compass dialed up on your smartphone?
I think I do, Thomas. And Linnea Gagliano, who is the Director of Global Communications for Oregon Tourism, is joining us on the line. And they have a fun new little gadget here that is meant to help you realize that it isn't always raining everywhere in Oregon. And the weather compass will help you find places where it isn't raining, or in the case of this week, Linnea, snowing in Oregon. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Right. Thanks. Great to be here.
So tell us about this new gadget that you guys have created here. It's not an app yet. It's just something that you can pull up on the internet. So tell folks a little bit about it.
Yeah, you bet. It is a mobile site, so it's just OregonWeatherCompass.com. And just like you said, it's to show people that it's not just raining here all the time in the winter, that there are different weather patterns all throughout the state. And if you need a little sunshine or you're looking for some snow, like you said, we're going to have that this week. It'll show you where that weather is happening and then give you some inspirational ideas for what activities to do in that weather.
Like, for example, it is snowing in Portland a lot this week. And so if you hit the weather compass and it shows you where it says Portland, you know, it's snowing in Portland, and it tells you some things that you might want to do in that particular kind of weather. It should be noted that while people in Sacramento would sit here and say, well, you know, you guys are up north and obviously you get lots of snow, and well, Portland has a little kind of mini climate in there in the Willamette and the Columbia, and it doesn't get a whole lot of snow. So for you guys to have a lot of puffy white flakes falling from the sky is not something you would normally have. And then, of course, if the rain follows it, why that can be a problem. But this weather app, Linnea, will give folks the opportunity. Like, for example, I had a group in Portland over the weekend. And the weather was very touch and go. It was raining and then it was not raining. And if we had a scheduled itinerary, but if you were there without a scheduled itinerary and you were trying to figure out, well, gee, it's raining on our parade over here. So where can we go and what can we do? What a great idea. Because right there is, we'll tell you where the weather is better and what you could do there or what you can do in the place where the weather isn't so good, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's just meant for inspiration to get people out. And for us Oregonians, we know that winter, it does not affect the beauty of the state. In fact, it enhances it in a lot of ways.
It's called the Oregon Weather Compass, and there is a link to it at travelguysradio.com, or you can find it just by typing in Oregon Weather Compass into your browser. And you can have a little fun. You don't have to be in Oregon to have a little fun with the Oregon Weather Compass. Thank you, Linnea, for joining us on the Travel Guys and telling us a little bit about a new toy.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
So, coming up after the news, we are going to have, we have some tickets to give away.
I understand
that.
Yes,
as we discussed there.
Sorry we confused you a few minutes ago.
Well, we were pretty confused ourselves. We have two sets of tickets to give away, and we will do that towards the end of the program. So you will it's called a bait and switch or a hook or a tease. A tease is what it's called. So after the news, Clayton Whitehead is here to talk about his mileage run all the way to Africa. It is the longest mileage run I have ever heard of in all my years of travel. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
You can
it's the Bob Dylan of travel.
It's Marcus Mio.
Marcus Mio.
From Australia, don't you know?
I shouldn't make
money. No, you shouldn't, because he lets us use that song for free. And
it's a great song.
He's a really nice man. I might bring him here next year for the Sports Leisure Vacations tour preview day. Yes, I can see eyes being rolled across at me.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
We have new air service.
Yes.
I've made a habit of interrupting you today,
yes,
so I thought I would just go ahead and do it again.
Seems to be fashionable.
We have new air service. Alaska Airlines is going to fly not only to San Diego starting in the spring, they're going to fly to Cabo San Lucas once a week.
Awesome.
So you'll have to stay a week if you go.
Because once you get there, or you fly back with somebody else.
Exactly. Or you walk back or something like that. But anyway, you can go to Cabo San Lucas. Maybe perhaps,
speculating,
maybe they will improve our worst in the country, get through customs service at the airport with more international flights. Because I can't, now they will have to have some, I'm going to guess that flight will come in during the day. I can't imagine it's going to be an overnight flight to Cabo San Lucas like the two Guadalajara flights.
No.
We might have an international flight that leaves during the day.
Amazing. Not that far.
Do you know what the definition is of an international airport? It has nothing to do with whether or not you have international planes landing there. It's whether or not you can accommodate an international flight. So will your runway, and do you have the services to process the people if a plane had to land there, like in an emergency or something like
that?
Okay, good. So Sacramento Airport can be an international airport without ever taking an international flight.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's always been a little confusing to me as to why it was Sacramento International Airport when it's not really on the way to most anywhere.
And the international flights we have leave in the middle of the night most of the time, and so it's kind of almost as though we're ashamed of them. Anyway, I'm sure our airport people are working on more stuff, and that's why we have now a Cabo San Lucas flight that's coming in the springtime, so you'll be able to get to Cabo without going somewhere else. Speaking of international flights and people who take them, across from us here on the Travel Guys is Clayton Whitehead, and he has been a guest on the program many times, and as we have teased you during the show, Clayton discovered that he was a little bit short on his mileage with United Airlines, right?
United.
And
Star Alliance.
And so you decided that you wanted to be on the same level or as you were this year, next year, or something like that?
So yes, everyone's been teasing me, not just you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what is your status, or what was your status before you went ahead and flew to Africa to...
My status is United Platinum and Star Alliance Gold.
Okay.
And so that's 75,000 miles a year on United.
Yes.
And you were about to... Let me interrupt you. You were about to go into the new year and be short of miles.
I was short about 20,000 miles to keep my status.
How did that happen? Didn't you plan ahead?
Normally, I go to Europe two or three times a year, and this year I only had one trip to Europe.
I see. Okay.
And that's where you really get ka-ching ka-ching on the miles.
Yeah. Unless you're just a domestic guy like me and you just have to fly back and forth across the country at least 20 times.
Well, I don't want to be like you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so, Mr. Whitehead, someday you'll have your own radio show.
Okay. Thank you.
So you decided that you needed 20,000 miles.
And I sat down with my computer and started looking for places to go.
That were at least 10,000 miles away by air.
Yes.
Did you also add into what the cost of where you're going to go is going to be?
Well, the way I look at it is if I had to buy the status, it would be $6,000. So as long as I spent less than that on my mileage run, I was actually making money, not spending money.
Okay. The big question will be in a few minutes. Tell us about where you went and how this all came about.
I decided to fly to Johannesburg, South Africa, and go on a safari.
And you left?
I left Friday, was a week ago.
A week ago Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And you got back?
This Friday.
Okay. So you went to Johannesburg and back in 8 days total.
Yes. It was 57 hours of air and waiting on plane time going, but only 52 hours coming back.
Wow. Express.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a shorter layover.
50 some hours to get there
mm-hmm.
and 50 some to get back.
Yes, sir.
So if you just now tuned into the Travel Guys, we're talking with Clayton Whitehead, and Clayton did a mileage run all the way to Africa to maintain his status at the end of the year. And you didn't have any missed connections or anything like that?
No, but my bags did. My bags got to go to Munich for almost the entire week.
So you went on a safari, and you didn't have your safari stuff.
Indeed, I did not. But I never smelled worse than the animals.
Okay.
That's not fair to the animals. Let's say I never smelled stronger than the animals.
Do we have time to talk about the safari itself?
Yeah.
Well, I just have to say, South Africa wasn't totally a whim.
Now, we should tell people, you have never been to Africa.
I've never been to Africa.
Was it someplace that you had always decided? I've never heard you talk about it,
meaning,
that's why.
Meaning, no disrespect, my impression of Africa are the commercials on TV where they're begging for money to save the children. And that didn't look like the kind of place I wanted to go.
Okay.
But
it's a fair answer.
Yeah. But earlier this year, the South Africa Tourism Authority, the country's marketing arm, joined the National Tour Association, which Mark and I talk about a lot, our primary trade association that he and I are both very involved in. And I sat in front of a lady at a convention in Quebec this past summer, and she asked me to come to South Africa, and it just planted a seed. What she showed me is that South Africa is not that preconceived notion of Africa. They have safaris, which I didn't know. They had them that far south. I thought safaris were just kind of in the middle of the country or middle of the continent.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they've got a lot of people history. They've got great resorts with Cape Town. They have a big wine country. Johannesburg, of course, is a major international city. So it's kind of like you could have the people experience and the cultural experience and taste the wine. But also, you could have the safari experience. As it turns out, I decided to do only safari. So I saved Cape Town and Johannesburg and the wine country for next visit.
All right. We do a mileage run to accumulate all of these extra miles so that you could get your status premier gold.
Platinum.
Okay. Now that has a value to you. Tell us what that value of those of that status will be going into 2017.
Well, as a platinum person, mm-hmm. like your crazy lady you were talking about a while ago, if she had been platinum, she would have boarded the plane first, and the overhead bin space would not have been an issue.
Okay, so you get to board first.
You get first class upgrades about 40% of the time.
Okay. That has value.
You can check three bags for free, and they can be overweight. They can be up to 70 pounds.
That has value.
I know all this sounds frivolous. It's sounding frivolous even as I say it, but I have to tell you that the best and true value, especially when I'm traveling with 20 or 30 or 40 of our customers, and that is I have a dedicated phone number that a person is going to answer.
Yep.
And when I have a problem and I get to carry all the people that are with me, you know, into that call with me.
Right.
And, you know, there's no elasticity in the friendly skies anymore. When have you been in a plane with more than like one empty seat? Never. So if a group gets displaced, it is a huge, huge issue to try to get them home. And being able to call a number that someone is going to answer immediately, recognize your status, and feel inclined to help you because of that, not just through the United Network, but through the entire Star Alliance, which is an international network of, what, 30 airlines, I believe? It truly has a value.
Blatant plug here for Sports Leisure Vacations. Here's a guy who went 20,000 miles so he could keep the status that allows him, if he gets out on the road as a tour director and gets and his group gets in a tough spot, he's flying on United Airlines, he knows that he's got an extra tool at his disposal. I feel this. The reason I'm doing my little mileage run from Las Vegas to Los Angeles and back to get my status with United next year is the same thing, because when I'm stuck on the road, especially if I'm stuck with a lot of people, it gives me a tool that most tour directors or most travel companies or most tour companies would not have to be able to assist their travelers. You can pull rank, so to speak, especially on the phone, as Clayton said, because you've got this dedicated number and because the people on the phone will treat you and your people who are traveling with you the same way. So it's a huge advantage. I just wanted to throw that in there. Anyways,
well,
Clayton,
you know, basically what you're saying here is that this is a very well thought out, great business move. It cost you time and money, but it improved your company's ability to provide service to your guests.
And improved his chances of getting an upgrade, too. Yeah, let's not get too,
that's true, but the whole time I just thought it was self-serving.
Okay, before
we
get away from this here, and we run out of time in about 2.5 minutes, Africa.
It was amazing. I saw an elephant. I saw rhinoceros. I saw zebras. I saw the lion.
And they weren't in a cage.
Gold. No, we had the best guide, Jimmy Cricket, which he swore was his real name. He could sense where the animals were. He could smell them. He could just sense where they were. And we would go out, and then there they were, just there. We were in a 22,000 acre private safari reserve called Entebbeni, which is about three and a half hours north of Johannesburg, in the Waterberg region, if you know anything about South Africa. I didn't know this place existed until about 3 weeks ago, but I did a lot of internet research, and my friend with the South Africa Tourism helped out. She made some recommendations, and I just kind of landed in this place. I grew up on a big cattle farm, and I've kind of poo-pooed safari experiences. I was like, I grew up in wide open spaces. Why do I want to fly halfway around the world to see an animal walking around in a grassy place, you know? But after you've done it, oh my gosh, it is amazing. It's amazing.
See, one of the reasons I asked you to come here today was because Clayton is not the kind of person, it's not like he's talked all of his life about going to Africa. So this really was a spontaneous
plan
to go, and so when you come back and you say these things,
actually, I have talked all my life about going to Africa, but it was Egypt.
Okay,
but Cairo wasn't far enough.
So we got about 2 minutes here. A tip for people who are going to Africa on a safari, something would make them a little smarter traveler. Something to take with them. Something to know.
I think, you know, and I'll say this because I was there with a lot of Europeans and Americans that were in my camp. Mm-hmm. It was amazing how many people didn't know that our winter is their summer. I mean, it's the other hemisphere, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't want to go there during our summer because then it's going to be their winter. You don't want to go during our winter and then it's their summer. And then, of course, you have to be prepared for summer with sunscreen and a hat and sunglasses and things that you might not think about for December travel. The weather was just flawless. It was perfect. Very, very nice. But I didn't get to enjoy the outside as much as I wanted to outside of the safari experience because a hippopotamus lived in the pond right by my house. So we weren't allowed outside because, another thing I learned, more hippopotamuses kill people than lions and elephants combined.
Oh, my. Wow.
Okay, one more thing here. Tip for people who are traveling internationally. You did a lot of international travel here, a lot of big planes. You went through Heathrow and Johannesburg and stuff. Anything that you picked up along the way that you could share that would help folks on a long-distance trip like that?
Wow.
How about be sure to bring your important stuff with you on board because your luggage may not show up?
Well, that's a good thing. I was separated from my luggage for 5 days, So, you know, I had essentials with me in my pack. And it's surprising how many people don't travel with essentials. And also, International Travel 101, make Xerox copies of your passport and put them everywhere else. I've met up with a lady, not a part of my experience, but when I was connecting at Heathrow, who had lost her passport, and she had nothing. She had nothing. And I have Xerox copies tucked into the luggage, you know, the lining of my luggage, into my briefcase. I have Xeroxes everywhere. And I have to confess, I lost my passport once in Reykjavik, Iceland. And because I had the Xerox, it was in Lost and Found, and they gave it back to me. So Xeroxes are, you know, they're old-fashioned, but there's some things that digital technology hasn't quite replaced yet.
Clayton, thank you for coming in and sharing with us about your mileage run to Africa, not only from an airline traveler standpoint, but from a traveler to Africa standpoint. It sounds like that you had a wonderful time. I suspect Sports Leisure travelers are going to hear more about this in the days and months to come. Sports Leisure has a trip to Africa this summer, a safari trip with a couple of seats available on it. I believe it's about 20 people. It's going to Kenya, which is not exactly where you went, but still same concept. And I'm sure the folks that are, it's sold very well. So if you're interested, Sports Leisure Vacations has one. Clayton, great stories. Thank you very much for coming in and being a
Thank
part
you.
Of the Travel Guys.
And you can just refer to me now as Platinum.
Platinum. Well, thank you.
All right.
Congratulations.
Gwen Duncan is still on the sidelines,
yes,
and is going to join us here in a few minutes. And we have some tickets to give away. One more break and the Travel Guys will be right back.
Well, we're on the road again. Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, into our final segment, and a good one it will be.
It will be. We have a guest in studio with us today. Nick Valenzuela has been sitting in with us. He's a guy who's interested in radio and travel, and so he got in touch with us, so we invited him. Have you learned anything today, Nick?
It's been an interesting experience. I've certainly been excited to see sort of the behind the scenes of what goes on.
Yeah, well, this is not the way that real radio is done. This is just the way weekend radio is.
Yeah, the way travel guys do it, which is sometimes kind of weird.
Well, good luck to you. Nick, you're a graduate student, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well.
What are you going to be when you grow up, Nick?
Who knows when that'll ever be, but.
No point in hurrying it.
If you hang around travel, then you don't, speaking from a guy who's been around it for a while, you don't always have to grow up. So that's kind of always nice. And so good luck to you.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Speaking of people who are involved in travel and haven't ever really grown up, Gwen Duncan is on the line. Hi, Gwen.
Hi.
we just have a couple minutes here, my friend. You have come back from, you've been hanging around Cuba a lot the last few months, which is good because with the incoming president's views on Cuba, we may not have the opportunity to go to Cuba as easily as we have the last few years. You just come back from, what, your second trip there?
Yes, I did. We went the first one on the Fathom, which is the same trip as the same ship as Oceana and Azamara are sailing on, the 704 passengers. We did that one to Cuba, and when we did that, there was a hurricane, so we missed one of the ports. So we had an opportunity to go again, and we went on the Celestial Crystal. It took out of Montego Bay and Havana, and we did that one. It's like a 4-star ship, and it was wonderful, that experience. So, yeah, we got a taste of Cuba, both on the ship with the staff and food being all Cuban on the Celestial Crystal, and the other one, most all of our experiences were on the land.
Hey, let me ask you, Gwen, one of the ships, the Fathom, is leaving. I mean, just got there to start doing Cuba, and already it's not going to do Cuba. What's behind all that?
Oh, I tell you, we just learned from our last trip. Of course, you and I are going to talk about that in a future time, but they were having a hard time filling the ship to go to the DR, but to Cuba, I was amazed because that they were sailing with full ships and making money. But I personally believe that there are some issues with the Cuban government. Many cruises are starting to stop into Cuba, but only Havana, and only for like 4 or 5 hours. And I think with the new administration in both countries, we can expect some changes, and I'm so glad I got an opportunity to experience it. This last time, however, we landed the day that Fidel Castro died, and it was a completely different trip with no music, no alcohol, no nothing. But it's changing, ever-changing, and I believe that even our attitudes what's pending there are going to be changed.
Wow. Wow. That's a pretty concise update. Thank you, Gwen. Anything else? So if people are thinking about going, if you are thinking about going to Cuba and you haven't made your plans yet, you probably need to do it now, huh?
Well, if you want to go on the Fathom and leave out of Miami, which is the most convenient way to do it. And I'd love to help people if they're interested.
Okay. And Fathom is going to cruise to Cuba through May, right?
28th.
Okay. So if you're looking for a way to get to Cuba, Gwen Duncan, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we will hook you up there. Thank you, Gwen Duncan, for joining us. We have, a couple minutes here to go?
A couple of minutes to go. You know, I thought the idea of cruising to Cuba versus all the other ways you can go, you know, mm-hmm. fly and find a place to stay in Havana or whatever, was the absolute best because you knew where you were going to
exactly.
stay overnight and was a somewhat of a safe place to be and then take the day excursions to different locations.
And as she was talking about, she said the DR, Dominican Republic. So
yeah.
What was happening was the Fathom was going 1 week to the Dominican Republic, 1 week to Cuba. So perhaps with the off week not selling well, I'm guessing they probably went back to the government and said, well, gee, why don't we come here every week? And the government said, well, maybe we'll talk about that or negotiate that. I of course, have no idea what's going on there. But nonetheless, if the opportunity, the window to travel to Cuba might close, and it might not. So you never know. But if you were thinking about going to Cuba, there might be some level of urgency there. All right, we got a couple of minutes here. We need to give away some tickets to White Christmas, as we often do on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
There we go.
So we have two sets of tickets.
You're going to make this simple for them.
I'm going to make this fairly simple, but it's not going to be the first two people to get through because that's
not
fair. No.
No, okay.
Because those people are probably already on the phone. There are two tickets to White Christmas at the Community Theater. You have to be able to go on Wednesday night, the 28th of this month. So a week from Wednesday for the evening performance. They're not transferable, so you have to be able to use them that night. Okay. So if you call 921-1530 or 800-834-1530 and you are the fourth or fifth caller, you will win a pair of tickets to see White Christmas from the Travel Guys. We're on Christmas next week.
Are lucky that way.
I don't know if the Travel Guys have ever been on Christmas.
No, we usually get New Year's Day. This year we get New Year's Day and Christmas.
And
oftentimes we get Thanksgiving. Oh, no, we don't get Thanksgiving. But we do get the Super Bowl oftentimes.
Carolyn's saying she'll be here.
Yeah, there you go.
Christmas Day. That's one thing. The news and the traffic and the weather and stuff never stops. Andrew will be here on Christmas. No, Andrew is not working on Christmas Day. So Carolyn will be here pretty much running the whole thing by herself, of course. And then we have a special show on New Year's that we were talking about doing, finding our best. What we think
that may be difficult. It's either one of two things. It's either going to be we have so many great things we can never decide which ones, or I'll go through the whole thing and I can't find anything interesting, and then what?
Maybe we could just do outtakes.
There
anyway,
you go.
The New Year's Day show will be great.
Plenty of
you those. Have a wonderful week. If you're out there Christmas shopping, be kind to each other, please. And we will be back with more travel tips for you next week.